Huh?
Out of Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a couple more shurim. I want to go through certain basics of Hilchos Bas Yochalav and Taruv Mezuzos, as we'll see today. I think it'll give you foundational information that will provide the backdrop to go through the Shulchan Aruch siman by siman, sif by sif. But knowing these things, I think, is very important. In the first sif, in the Gemara, it mentions that the Issur Bas Yochalav, since it's presented in the Torah, B'loshon Bishul Osav Ashil, so we have an expression, Derech Bishul Osra Torah, right? Derech Bishul Osra Torah. Bas Yochalav, Doraisa, is only if the combination is created through cooking. And we mentioned, if it's a milk in the fridge spills on a piece of salami, something like that, you got to just wash it off. There's no Issur Bas Yochalav, because there's no heat, there's no Derech Bishul Osra Torah. In fact, the truth of the matter is, technically speaking, you'd be allowed theoretically to eat it on a deraisa level because that's not bas b'chalav. Okay, the darbanan you can't eat; it's a different story. But I'm talking about a derech bishul osra Torah. According to the Torah, it's only derech bishul. Okay, and what we are trying to clarify based on the Kesef Mishnah, but the way I kind of presented it, it's that the definition is to create the food. The definition of bishul, the issur of bishul, is to create this chefta bas b'chalav, like we mentioned a couple of times. When we look at these makaras, some of them we saw already. The Gemara in Daf Kuch Chesam Abay discusses how cooked is cooked. We discussed that a little bit last week also, right? The Gemara says, "Ve'ezah bishul amro, how far do you have to cook it for it to define it as derech bishul osra Torah?" But bishul shacherim ochen osan machmas bishulo, to the point where other people would eat it. People would consider this a cooked item, which is an unusual expression that the Gemara to use. In fact, we can wonder. Rashi tells us, so we saw this, Rashi, the Masna Cherim, the second source, says, "Oh, the kochav," and even a non-Jew, "Chomash is bashel kol tzorko." It's fully cooked. Now, we mentioned the other time, the Ritva said that Rashi means only machal ben yusai. But the Pashtus in Rashi, it says kol tzorko. He knew how to say machal ben yusai. In fact, I was thinking that the Gemara also knew how to say machal ben yusai, right? It says that by Shabbos. It's an unusual definition. No, just think about analyzing the line of the Gemara. But bishul shacherim ochlen oso machmas bishulo. Why did the Gemara? Why did the Torah say? Why did the Gemara say you kamachal ben yusai like it says by Shabbat? Now you can ask the same question. Why didn't it say kol tzorko? Okay, it gives an unusual expression. The Meiri, which we saw there in Chulin, certainly what Rashi means. Again, we saw the Rishonim. Some Rishonim saying Rashi means one third or one half cooked kamachal ben yusai. But the Meiri there in Chulin kaf kuches and alav a lokan al bishul shabas v'chalavat she's bashul bishul haroy. It's all over. Shagoyim chavin echol tavshul bas v'chalaviyem magziko kemevushul. He says called tzarko. He says called tzarko is called tzarko. Means the person would consider this a cooked item. And what Rav Soloveitchik said is that it's not a matter of defining this as an act, a halachic act of bishul. Now, as we know from Hilchos Shabbos, right? Cooking something, kamachal ben yusai, either one half or one third, depending on what Hilchos we've shown him, that's a halachic act of bishul. And the Rav tried to stress, and that's the point I want to build on, that here, when it comes to bishul bas v'chalav, it's not a matter of defining this action as a halachic act of bishul. Okay? It's a matter of creating a food, something which a normal person would eat under normal circumstances. That could be what Rashi and Mir are driving at. The average person, right? The Mishnah Goy will consider the average person, okay? The average guy in the street, you'll ask him, is this cooked? Yeah, it's cooked. Okay, we're not interested in the halachic definition of bishul per se, but rather in the creation. Okay, we don't need that it has to be an act of bishul. Okay, it's true that terms of Shabbos anyway, kamachal ben yusai is considered an act of bishul. But here, the act, forgetting about it, it's not just, well, should we compare? Should we compare Hilchos Shabbos to Hilchos Bas V'chalav? Without all that, okay, the iser. It's a matter of preparing, fixing a food item to create this ochel, okay? And this is something which people would eat, if you only would eat it ayad adchak, like Ben Drusoy, this bandit who's running away and so on. That's not really called, an act of normal bishul. It's not derech bishul. We're emphasizing, the Rav is trying to emphasize, derech bishul ozel, it's a normal thing that the average person would consider to be cooked, to create this item. And this, we touched on this a little bit. There was a tshuva, I don't think we saw this tshuva. There's a tshuva from the Shaar Ephraim. One of the early Achronim, Shaar Ephraim, Ephraim Akone, the Rav in Vilna, he was the grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, in fact, sometimes they print his tshuvas together with the Chacham Tzvi's tshuvas in one volume. Okay, now it's interesting. His name was, he signed it to Ephraim HaKohen. The Marshal had a son-in-law called Ephraim HaKohen, but it's not clear that this is the same person. We don't know. Anyway, whoever he was, one of the early Achronim, Shar Ephraim. So he deals with this question, which we did deal with the question before. He writes, after a very flowery introduction, okay, very flowery words to the person he's writing to. We're Gershon Ashkenazi, I'm not sure what that is. But anyway, right here in Ebasi, the third line is very cholo, korom, or kovarom, or kul, again, but flowery terms. The question was, Ashen Ishalt and Ezrasha, Asher Shalun, is that we carve korom, and chanakin, and my Sashaya Kachaya, Shabishlu Chema, Bekdera Shabasa. Somebody cooked butter, okay, in a fleshing a pot, milking a butter in a fleshing a pot, okay? And it was Ben Yomo. Beis Yud stands for Ben Yomo. Means it was used for flesh in the last 24 hours. So this butter, which is milchik, has absorbed the flavor of the meat. It was in the pan, okay, or the pot that came out. So obviously, at Benesra Abur Shaloh HaShishim, and it wasn't 60, it was a slab of butter. The amount of butter wasn't so big that there wasn't 60 against it in terms of against the flavor of the meat. And therefore, it's certainly also to eat. No question, right? It's milk, which is absorbed flavor, but it's called. But shol bei shelos echad ishori lehedlik lahadlik bechem alaher makom ner. Can he now use what's left of this, solidify it, so to speak, and use it as camel wax? Can he light with it? Can he take this fat, let it congeal and use it as shal number one? The habeis ishori lahadlik bechem hanal b'menorah shel Chanukah. The Lord says, "Yechos obim kom shemen on their Chanukah. Can he use it as a Chanukah candle?" So he writes, "Hinei al shela echad ain tzarch lefaneu poshul lesov yosher bos v'chalavas v'hanok." I mean, the first question was kind of obvious, right? That they can't use it for a candle because they get light out of it. It's also v'hanok, right? Bos v'chalav is also v'hanok. So there, he doesn't think there's any question. And okay, he discusses. He has a Gemara Pesach, we don't have to look into now, but look three lines down from the bottom. If you want to the second question, not so convinced about. In other words, he says the first question is Bas B'chol V'Asav Ano. Okay? And again, it's a question that's going to be all used up. That's not a issue. But the second question, Avashela Shnia, Tzorach Ian Liatzor Ladina, Ishar Lahadlik Osal Bakum Shemel Ner Chanukah. Me'achad the word of Gemara, Perek Mamadlikin, Ner Chanukah also ishtamish la'orah. Okay, the Gemara says regarding Ner Chanukah, you're not allowed to use it for a personal benefit. Right? You're not allowed to use the Chanukah candles for yourself. In fact, even Afilu Tashmish Shalkadusha, about that's a discussion we've shown him really exactly what's also by the light of Ner Chanukah. Right? The Gemara has in a few places, in that sugya in there of Chanukah, the second break of Shabbos, the Gemara has a number of different presentations, all of which point to an issue of using there as Chanukah, but it's not so clear why. In other words, the Gemara has, it sounds like what the Shar Ephraim is quoting, is not even a field of Tashmish Shal Kedusha. Let's say, in other words, is it a matter of Bisu Mitzvah? Okay, the Gemara says, for example, you can't count your money. Ein lahartz, also lahartz is most, la'or ner Chanukah. You can't count your money. Okay, because that's it. But let's say, I don't want to use the light as a siddur to be able to sing most surah, to say an arsalah, or to say tilim, or to learn, or whatever. Right, that's not a because the Gemara brings into the sugya bizim mitzvah like kisa dam and kicking the sand and so on. So the Gemara brings up bizim mitzvah. So that would be one thing. But besides bizim mitzvah, maybe there's another issue that it has kedusha like the nearest of the mikdash, which somebody shown right in the round in the back. Anyway, that's the whole sugya. So he assumes, as Shar Ephraim does, that since you're not allowed to use it, afilu tashra kedusha, the words of Rechaim and Tav Kuvayim Beis, v'chol haposkim diner Chanukah osur b'hanah. In other words, the first shaila I thought was not much of a shaila, says the Shar Ephraim. It's possible chovus, that's a hana. But here is no hana. And the mitzvah slav lehenesnit, but especially here, it's also a hana. Dafki is not allowed to use the light, so maybe you should be allowed to use it for the sake of the mitzvah. That's how the tshuva of the Shar Ephraim. So many of you who learn this assume the Shar Ephraim, therefore, is mako. The truth is, I didn't print all the tshuva, but at the end of the tshuva, he says, he kind of stops, he says, the Shar Ephraim's tshuvas were put together, it seems, by his son, and maybe the sisters of Talmidim, so he had manuscripts, and wine missing. Okay, sometimes things were missing. So it says, I think it says Ad Kan Matzosi, or something like that. Where he saw it, the Shari Farm says, Ad Kan Matzosi. So was he changing his mind? Because he went back and forth a little bit. So how did he come out of Maskana? It's not 100% clear. It's always good to reading the Tshuva, and it says Ad Kan Matzosi. So now the person writing the Tshuva was, had to figure out, was he putting his bias in? And with due respect, I'm not always interested in his opinion. I'm interested in the person who wrote the Tshuva. I remember years ago in the Purim edition of the Amavasar, so they had they found tapes of Rav Soloveitchik. You know, there was a joke, and a number of funny things. I won't go into now, but one of them said one of the things was that the Rav was talking. He said, "If you ask me who I think my best Talmud ever was, I would think it has to be." And it says, "Tape ends here." So anyway, but that's what they point out in this Chulish Har Farm. So we don't know, but some assume that he holds that it should be mutter to light Chanukah candles with this. The Machzi Procha, that's from the Chido. The Chido is a great Sfardi posting in the 700s. Chaim Yosef David Azuloy, he's one of the people the Sfardim refer to as Maran, aside from of course the Beis Yosef, the Chabad, and I just say things, but the Chido is Maran Chido. So one of his Sfardim, he has a couple of commentaries. The Birkei Yosef is the more, I think, more famous one that's printed in some editions on the side of the page, but there's also Matzik Brocha. It's an additional hour. So our Simon Pei Zion, here, Yerodea, Simon Yud Zion, I put it in the Tov, it's Matzik Yud Zion. Okay, he writes, Bechema Nisko, Shnis Bashlo, when it's Keresh, Shnis Bashlo, Bekderes Bosa Bas Yoma, Lahadlik Ne Chanukah, Tzidei Darav Shara Ephraim, he quotes the Matzik Brocha, quotes the Shara Kiddo, quotes the Shara Ephraim, the Shori Lahadlik, that he understood that he felt it was mutter. The Afal Gav, the Bas V'cholav Asu Ba'anoa, Mitzvah Lav Lahenes Nitzel. Okay? And then he mentions about a Chakav, Shokl V'tori, went back and forth, and then he quotes some who learned, looking forth on Shakos V'shem Rav Shavaran, the Hell of Isser. I told you, the God goes back and forth, and his conclusion, we don't know. So the Shara Ephraim, the Chidosh says, some hold the Shara Ephraim, Taka Asir, okay. And I go down to the second paragraph, he writes, Ulam, I told you, when you're preparing for the issue, we don't have to look in every tshuva, these more complicated achronim, but just want to go over to what it gives to us here. When you're preparation, you can stick more to the primary sources. Anyway, so it says, Ulam, ha'ikra d'dina, anochi lo edati, mazu t'mir rav shafayim, ha'akha the tshuva zu lavka suma, nitam chasoma shal kohen gadol. That's his way of talking respectfully about this Shara Ephraim, he's a kohen. He says, it doesn't have the seal of approval of the kohen, meaning the Shara Ephraim. He's borrowing from the Gemara, Chos Moshe Kabbalah Chanukah, Chos Moshe Kohen Gadol. You know, right? The Gemara says that they only were able to find, one flask of oil that had the Chos Moshe Kohen Gadol, right? Which, by the way, prompts an interesting question: where do we ever see that the oil for the? As a side point, you can think about this Chanukah time. But where do we ever see that the oil for the Chanukah had to have the Chos Moshe Kohen Gadol on it? You know, or anybody's chosom on it. It's interesting. It doesn't see. So I saw somebody pointed out at the beginning that had to be brought to someone like Moshe. So that's the mocker that has to have somebody's chosam on. Okay, interesting. I forgot where I saw that. Maybe, I don't remember. Anyway, but whatever it is, he's just borrowing a phrase here. So he says, lo zachino legomor shel Torah. We weren't zochet to see the rest of his Torah in this tshuva. Okay? So who knows what his conclusion was and so on, because it says, Ad Kan Matzosi. Anyway, so he says, it's not clear what he said. Then he quotes the Rav Elia Rabba. That's about Yel Shapiro, also in the early Achronim. From the stuff I printed the next page, he quotes the Elia Rabba, who's Tomal Shara Ephraim, how could he even think about being Matir and so on? Because of a different reason. Look at the second last line on the page. Amailo Choyish Marbad Lok, but Shemavasho Bos Becholok. Good, there may be no Isser Hanor. Okay, good, there's no Isser Hanor because you're not allowed to get Hanor from the Ner Chanukah. So no problem Hanor here. But when he lights that piece of butter, which has busser absorbed in it, and he lights this as a candle, and it burns, so good, you're not allowed to get Hanor. So you're not violating Isser Hanor, I'll give you that. But it's a bishul. Right? Isn't a problem? A bishul, bas v'chol. Okay? Hadlokh, shmavasha, bas v'chol, also a bishul. And he says, even though it's already cooked, right? But we said, HaKamelon, we used to have the machokas, but he's assuming, Yesh Mishach HaBishul. Okay, so, and that's what the Chidor deals with in the remainder of his piece, okay, there. That's a question about anyway, he says that then he discusses also something important. Well, you look at the second the paragraph on the next page. He says that a lot. In my little, as if it's like a monograph or something, or something. A big sefer with all kinds of. My little sefer, Birkei Yosef, you can look up. Anyway, he says, Adra, Mashma, the Daitoleh, so he thinks it's Sharfraim. Also, Asus, and you can bring up the issue of maybe Tigun, we're going to talk about that too. Tigun, this is frying it, so maybe that's not called Bishol. Right? We know that from the Shabbos also, there are different types of cooking. So cooking, by definition, usually means through the medium of water, right? You heat up water and you put something in a pot. That's usual cooking, as opposed to frying, which is not through the medium of water, okay? So, let's remember this case. The butter was in a pan, and then absorbed the flavor. It was without water. That's how you cook up butter. Butter you put in a pan, right? So the rest is that, maybe this is not a case of Bishlach or Bishul because it's Bishlach or Tigun. Anyway, he discusses that. The Pisrei Tshuva, here in Aras Siman Pei Zayin, Sivkot and Dalet, okay, tells us to look in the Shaar Ephraim. That's how I knew to look in the Shaar Ephraim. The Pisrei Tshuva quotes it, okay? And he says, also lahadik bo lahar abayis v'dam shasim rovah, gam lahadik bo ner chanakim. He thinks, he concludes, that's also for Ner Chanukah too, but for a different reason. Okay, the Lamedusha reason. You guys were here with Sukkah a few years ago? So remember the third paragraph of Sukkah, the Gemara introduced this to something else in other places too. Ksusei Michta Shire. Remember that? Something which in the Lulav Shel Asherah, Shel Redachas, or anything that's supposed to be destroyed, okay, so it's as if it doesn't exist right now. It's as if it doesn't have any Shire. Ksusei Michta Shire, right? That's the expression which the Gemara has, which the Shari Tshuva quote, the Episcopal Tshuva rather quotes over here. So he said, since the boss of the Cholam is Aser B'Hanah, and it means it's got to be supposed to be buried, we learn, so then it's as if it doesn't have a Shir. So it's Ksusi Mikhta Shire. Ner Chanukah needs a Shir. I mean, it has to have enough in it to burn for half an hour. Right? So it has to have a minimum Shir. So maybe there's a, so there's a big problem here with Ksusi Mikhta Shire. Okay?
It's not actually involving, though.
I know, that's a little bit, it's an unusual application of Ksumitzishure. And that's a further question. Let's say, do you really need, is there, that's a discussion, whether that translates into a sheer volume or not.
So,
right, would burn, right. So, it's a good argument. That's basically true, quotes that, okay. He mentions that as a possibility. I don't want to talk about it now, but he says he also quotes the Tshuva's B'Samim Rosh. You know what that is? B'Samim Rosh was a Tshuva attributed, a collection of Tshuva's attributed to the Rosh. But it's not really from the Rosh. So assume that the Chido himself, and when they say for Shema Gdolim, I've referenced that in the past, he's mefakrik about it, and now it's known that it's not from the Rosh. But he wasn't sure about it. In fact, in one of the Tshuva's Ksam Sofer, he refers to that as the Kizvei HaRosh. Kizvei HaRosh. In addition, I have the Tshuva's Ksam Sofer, it says Kisvei HaRosh. Because the printer was it must be a mistake. It must be Kisra. No, he meant what he said, Kisra Arosh. There are times though the Acharon do quote, Kibbeh sometimes quotes this Tshuva's B'Samim Rosh. I want to turn to Talmud Chacham and say, well, Kibbeh knew which kind of things the Rosh would have said had he written it, which is a tribute to the sheep, is a tribute to the Rosh. Anyway, he says to look at there, and the person who put it together is Talmud Chacham, no question about it. He has a few wild things in there, but it was a Talmud Chacham there. And there's a comment on it called Kasid Harsana, okay, which was written by Talmud Chacham. I don't know why he had this attributed to the Rosh. Anyway, that tells you, look with Shuas Rosh, Reish Samach, Reish Simon, Reish Behebah, Gos, Kof Samach Dal. That stands for Kasid Harsana. Okay. Anyway, that's another point which the Shuas brings up. You look in the Svarim of Elia Shapiro, she has two things. Elia Zuta, the smaller commentary, that's his commentary on the Levush. Okay, the Elia Rabba is on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Elia Zutin and Elia Rabba says the same thing. Okay, in the Siman of Hilchus Ner Chanukah, Hilchus Chanukah, Tov Reish Ayin Gimel Aruch Chaim. We only have the Elia Rabba on Aruch Chaim. Okay, so many editions of the Levush has the Elia Zutin on the side of the page. So in the Elia Zutin it says, Mitzvah and Amuvchor Lahadar Sashem Zayin, it's fine. Okay. And he says, discusses the Shaar Ephraim, and he says the whole Shaklat Tayyif is mitzvah lehenesnit, no not. But what do you mean? It should be a problem of Bishul anyway. That's what he said. Vani Tama, look at the last line of 7. Vani Tama, shall I hear what Tama said? Labas, well, also Bishul. Vain Loma, the shiny hocha shikvarnis basho. Within Shabbos, the Yesh Bichat Shabbos Rabbi Yishol. Okay, we could argue, yeah, but not everyone agrees with that, right? It says in the Eli Rabbah also, Timihani, in the last line, Habas v'chalav also Rabbi Yishol, v'afshek parnes bashol, v'kamalon, v'simen shin yirchaz, siddalad, in Shabbos, the Yesh Bichat Rabbi Yishol. So you could argue, all right, the Shah Ephraim sides with those old Zayn Bichat Rabbi Yishol by Habas v'chalav. It's not such a big kasha. Rav Soloveitchik said differently. Rav Soloveitchik said, maybe it's like this, again, going back to our issue, okay? And it's like Bishalach HaBishul, but it's not the technical Bishalach HaBishul. Just like we said, it's not the technical Bishul. In other words, Rav Soloveitchik said that since the Isser by Bos V'Cholov is to create this Chefza, okay, well, the Chefza of Bos V'Cholov was created here already. When the butter was in melting in the frying pan with flashing of flavor, there was Ena Ben Yomo, I'm sorry, yes, Ben Yomo, and it got absorbed, so the Chefza was created already. I mean, it's, and that's why there's no further Isser. That's why the Shah Ephraim, if you hold that's what he believes, rejects the other rabbi. The other rabbi is Taina, that I just showed you the Pesachim Tshuva quote. Isn't it a problem of Bishul? No, it's not a problem of Bishul because it was already cooked. So that enters into the whole question, Yesh Bishul, Bishul, Mabas, Mechol, or not, which we talked about last week. But according to the rabbi, saying that the whole issue is to create the Chefza, the whole issue is to create the Chefza, so here with these candles, the Chefza was created already. And that's why there's no further Bishul. It doesn't matter. Bishlach HaBishul at the Shabbos is a technical question. Is it called the Maisa Bishul? But we're saying here's our instrument what it's called the Maisa Bishul. We're interested in does it create a Chetz of Bas V'Cholo? Okay, therefore, that could be the Machokas, the Shah Ephraim, Eli Rabbah. Okay, how do we define Bishul? The Shah Ephraim could hold that Bishul is defined by Hinkos Bas V'Cholo as creating a Chetz of Bas V'Cholo. That was created already. So therefore, he says you can use it for Ner Chanukah, if that's indeed what he holds. And the Rabbah holds it, no, it's a Maisa Bishul, okay? And therefore, it's not. Now, we could also add, by the way, according to the, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, just point out that nobody said, like, where are we going to be Maisa Bishul, and
yeah.
In the Arab, that it's a Bishul, but it's not a Bishul, which is
the Litafur. I was about to say. The other thing we could throw in, okay, I didn't see that the rabbi could throw in that based on Kesef Mishnah, Bishul is in fact, I mean, sorry, the Bishul is a shog for Achila, and here you're using the candles, you know, and this is not what's our Achila. So definitely there's a point to mention. I just want to finish this particular point with an interesting ha'ara. Huh?
Is someone saying that things will be destroyed in this cooking?
Right, it's a similar thing, right. Yeah. Applying the same thing. And I didn't see them bring it up here. But it's saying, that's exactly what he's saying, yes, correct. That's what Shechta said in the Nevi'im. Yeah.
No,
it's really
meaning since this is a bishul that really makes it not exist.
Right. It's the opposite. No. Yeah. Yes. Correct. You know, come on. That's correct. But I'm trying to emphasize now this business of derek bishul also Torah, meaning to create food. Okay. I just want to point out. I came across a very interesting thing in source number 9. The Sefer Ksava Kabbalah. If you look at that, Sefer Ksava Kabbalah. Kabbalah here means nothing to do with Kabbalistic. It's not mystical. Not that Kabbalah. Okay, Kabbalah, you know what they're calling it, right? But that's not what it is. Kabbalah means our oral tradition, Torah Shema Peh. The Sefer Ksava Kabbalah was written by a great German Talmud Chacham, Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, okay, who was a big expert in language and diktuk and so on, and a big Talmud Chacham. And what he did was, in his Sefer Nechum, which is available, okay, he showed how if you read the words of Psukim carefully, and you understand the linguistics and the grammar, you can see in the psukim, you can see what Chazal are telling us in Torah Shabbat Pet. And not drush or derech, you can see that is basically sold in the Sefer. Remind me sometime to tell you, there's a very ingenious interpretation of Pasuk in regards to Chametz on Pesach. Remind me, make a mental note, remind me, come closer to Pesach. I don't know, it's a little long now to go into it. But it solves a problem that will be Hudab, and he solves it with a simple how to read psukim. He's sensitive to grammar and linguistics. Anyway, so he points out on this pasuk in Mishpatim, the first time, I just had to put it in because it's an interesting, I think very interesting. It relates to what we're saying. In the Shmos Parakov, Gimel Pasuk Yutes, the Ksavah Korah, was Lo Sivasho. Okay, and he writes, Le Rosena, Mechad Lavda, Lo Sivasho, Nichol Lavda Achilo also. Good, we know, Muda Achilo. He says, V'chala Nechovish Ad Lahavim, Beloshon Atzmo, Inan Achilo. Okay, Kidocha Godol Omar Im Hachona Asura Kol Shekei Tachlisa. He says all of this that we're talking about, like I said, Mishnah, with due respect to everybody, it's a little forced. I mean, that's what Dochah means, it's forced. We understand that it's preparation, right? I mean, again, he's not, the Rambam seems to say it because the Mishnah says it, but he wants to show you there's got to be something more to it than just that. Okay, that's his Yisod. He's not Chas V'Shalom, you know, arguing with the Rambam because of Mishnah. But he wants to show you that there's more to it than simply, well, if this is also, then that's got to be also too. That's got to bother you a little bit, right? So he says as follows. Venerally, ki b'shorish beiz shin lamed. The shorish for bishul, he points out, has gimel three situations. Aleph, bikur ha-pri v'hatua. Okay? Ripening fruit also has the language bishul. Ripening fruit. For example, Kemo Hivshilu Ashkelosel. You know what that is? From the dream of the wine steward, in the end of Vayeshev, when Yosef's in prison, and the wine steward and the baker have their dream, the butler and the baker have their dream. So he's had his dream about wine, and has the expression of Hivshilu Ashkelosel. The grape was ripened. Nothing to do with cooked. So what the Talmud was pointing out, first of all, the word cooked, the word bishul, the Hebrew grammatical beis shin lamed, does not automatically mean cooked. And that's the proof from there. If you show it, he's right then. Okay? Habez, bishul hamacha bachal b'mayim b'kedera eitzvesh. In Yiddish, kochen. Cooking. Okay, it also means that. Now we know. Right? Like we had by Korban Pesach. Boshom u'bushom b'mayim. It says, we cook something in a medium of water. Okay? That's also. But ha'gimel, tzli eitzel ha'esh. Kamo v'ayivashu es ha'pesach kamishpot. That's a pasuk not in the Torah. It's in Divrei Yom Beis. There are a number of places throughout the Tanakh. Some people, I do myself, on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, have a minute to it's a busy time, obviously, but have a minute to read through the Mishnah. There's a text that's printed in some Haggadah at the beginning, before Kadesh Ruchat Yom. It has a Korban Pesach to read through all the places in the Chumash and in the Novel and Ksuvim where Korban Pesach is mentioned, and then to read through a summary of what the Mishnayos tell us how it was done. Both the Tzayom, so to speak, of Erev Pesach. Some people do that Erev Pesach in the afternoon. I took it by myself. It's a nice thing to do if you have, you know, a few minutes free. Obviously, you have to help in the house and everything else. But usually by late afternoon, especially nowadays, the clocks have changed already by Pesach. Yeah, it's a nice thing. That doesn't take more than 20 minutes. Anyway, so there's a pasuk Nivrei Yom Beis, by Vashlis HaPesach. What do you mean? The Torah says not a lot of cook. It's obviously there. And it says, Kamishpat. They did it properly. So what is why Hashem went there? Roasting without the meaning of water. So he says you have all three meanings. Okay? And he says, what is the definition? Is why I'm bringing this in here. Vasholosh haros hapratios eila nirosh hara achas kolosos kulam. One meaning underlies all three of these things. Ripening, cooking with water, and roasting. Namely, here it is. Hu inyan hahefsher lahachilo. You are making something edible, right? Ripening fruit before it ripens. You know, the squirrels can eat it, but you can't. You know, I can't. Okay, if it's raw, you can't eat it. So sometimes you cook through water, sometimes you cook directly on a fire. Okay, or in the rotisserie, roasted. Okay, but that's what it means, right? Telling the definition of the word bishul is preparing something for making it edible. Hapriva tua tarimbo. Before the sun ripens it. Hein boser, right? That's what we call the language boser. I was saying uncle boser. Boser is veinam ruim lachila. You can't eat it. Ukva shemesh alayim poel b'machshir. When it ripens in the sun, what they call sun-ripe tomatoes or whatever, when it comes ripe, then now you can eat it, okay? And that's its bishul. Hatavshu lachai ein ruim lachila. Raw food, human beings can't eat it. And through the heat, not of the sun, usually don't cook through the sun, you cook through the fire. That makes you either behefsik deris mayim, or built in, so let's see, either directly, either through the medium of water, heat up the water, and the water heats up the stuff that you put in the water, the vegetables you put in, or directly through the fire. Sometimes you make a potato, you put potatoes into boiling water, you cook the potatoes that way to make mashed potatoes. Other times you put the potatoes right in the fire for a baked potato, right? So it depends, but either way. And then he mentions something else. Look at the second line, very important. You hear what he's saying? He's just telling us that the very term, what the Rav was saying, what he was saying instinctively, he's telling us that's what the word means. The word, that root, Bei Shin Lamed, Sivashel, means to make something. And with that, come to kvetch all these things. You know, well, I don't want to say kvetch, because we've said it in the name of an important poskim, but All this business that we came up with, even what you said before, that it has to be made to food, you know, that's not what we quoted from a shekel, that's what we said last week. Or that it has to be something, you know, that's royal achila in the normal circumstances, we said today. All that's not forced, says the Ksavah Kabbalah. That's the definition of Bishul. That's the definition of the word. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, well, we got to say that this makes it edible. That's not a forced thing. What he's trying to say is that's not a post facto. After we've already determined, now we got to work it in. So with the force, he's saying, you know what I'm pointing out? He's telling that's the definition of the term. That's what I thought was a valuable Ksavah Kabbalah to know. And then he says, okay. Now he goes into another grammatical point. He says sometimes there are verbs, and he doesn't have a riot. That's true about beish shenlamed, but he's saying that root bishul is like a verb that sometimes is on the person doing it, and sometimes on the person is being done, or on the item that it's being done to. The poel and the nifal, you can have the same shorish. Okay, for example, you have kamo barabam eish Hashem by Tavera, you know, when they burn in the Maloso, right? He tells you it says barab eish Hashem. Okay, now what's burning there? The fire, right? The fire eish Hashem burned them. Okay, but and we're posting the shofetim again. He knew Tanakh. Kepishti masher baru ba'eish. What's burning there? It's not the fire that's burning, the item burns, right? The same shorish is both. Okay, alachoma nisra. Or maybe this is more familiar to us than it was to me. Keshorish ayin beis dalet eved. Sheshimosh al ha'oved. Okay, the person who's enslaving, okay, or who's not about that enslaving, either serving, okay, meaning kema oso savodu, or vesachicha ta'avod. Okay, v'yishamish gamken ala nevad, but it also refers to the person being kamo la olam em tavodu olo savebo. Okay. Anyway, he says it's the same thing. And he brings right. It's the same thing with bishul. Okay. Sometimes the word goes on the food. Okay. The food lo savashel, right? The word lo savashel means don't cook what? The food, right? But he says, okay, v'yore al ha'ochel, not ha'ochel, but the ochel, okay, the person eating it, and so lo sevashel v'di b'chalei v'mo, that's like I told you before, what's he trying to show? He's trying to show how Chazal's interpretation is built into the words. The iser, bishul, achil, and hanois are all built into the beis shemamed root. Because lo sevashel means don't act on this food in the fashion of cooking. Don't cook this food. Lo sevashel is on the food, but it's also on the person. Remember, because beis shin lamed means also eligible as a making it eligible is wrong word, making it, I don't know, qualify as a food, but it goes on the person. Okay, lo sevashel means I can't eat it. You know, just like certain verbs on the act that's being done, and some is on the item. So he said, this food is now beis shelamed, has now been made edible. I can't eat it, right? So he says, "Kenodem Rabbi Sena, Parsha Parsha." And sorry, on something else. So he says, "Alshon Zeh Gami Yisano Beklal." That don't also include this Yisano. I don't. You can think about it. It's an interesting interpretation, I thought. Okay, but again, the bottom line is, and again, it's an action verb. Or it's a passive verb. The bishul's on the food, bishul's also on the person eating it. So it includes cooking, but also includes eating. That's the point, a person doing it, not so much acting on the food. Okay, either way. But at the end of the day, the upshot of all of this is that the act of bishul, the iser bishul, as follows, is to make something, like he said, like the word bishul applies like by ripening food, to make it edible. Okay? When that's the case, again, you can be chayev, okay, even creating something, as long as you are creating something fit to be eaten. So we talked about last time, the question was, mevashel chalav b'chalav. And we wondered, but you can't eat it anyways, right? We talked about that last week. But the chalav you can't eat anyways, so it's not called making a food. Yep, no, but still, you violate bishul anyway. Why? Because you did make it edible. Oh, good, it's extraneously, okay, it's also b'chalav, because it happens to be chalav, but if we define the act of bishul as making something edible, okay, making something edible, so then you did make it edible. Okay, the fact that it's not allowed to be eaten, okay, that's a side point. Or even the case we had with the scientific experiment, remember? I'm not planning to eat it, I'm getting rid of it, right? We had that, right, in Nefesh HaRa that you're referring to, the chemia, the doctor, the chemia, or the person testing out the chocolate or whatever. All those cases, at the end of the day, you could argue that it is bishul, because at the end of the day, it makes it, even though nobody's going to eat it, you're not allowed to eat it, all that stuff, but it could still be a violation of bishul. So now, we have this, if we have this definition, this will help us understand a chiddush. I didn't really see him and say exactly, but I'm going to try and, it's based on all this, to spell it. I really should have put on our base here before number 10, not after number 10, but it's okay. Okay? We actually referred to this before, that's why I put it earlier, but really it's a new point, but it flows from this. The Gemara says in Psachim, on Mem Dal and Beis, look at source 10. Mem Dal and Beis, Psachim. Gemara says, Rabbanan, mi bas v'chav lo gamin. You can't learn other dinim out of bas v'chav. Why? The chiddushu. Okay? The chiddushu. Bas v'chav is a chiddush. Let's look at Rashi. 11. Psachim, Mem Dal, Mem Dal, is bas v'chav. Bas v'chav is bas v'chav. Now, bas v'enei. El is a tam v'chav of nivlebo. Right? And it means to absorb the flavor of the milk. Okay? That's a chiddush. Okay, that's a chiddush that it's usur. It says Rashi, "Kol isuro temahi." The whole fact that it's usur is astonishing. Why? Dover chiddush ain't a matzah b'neinu b'shar isurin. We don't find this by other isurim. Lo garmina chomer didei b'shar isurin. Therefore, you can't learn certain chomers about bas v'chalav and extend them to shar isurin. Tichecha b'shar chiddushim didei lo b'shar isurin. Hi, Tom Kiker, not me lo tigmur. That's the issue. There is Tom Kiker. That's the one I was talking about. Tom Kiker. Do we say Tom Kiker or Doraisa? Doraisa, by the way. Do you say Tom Kiker or Doraisa about other Yisurim and I? Okay? So we definitely say it by Bas V'chalav. That's the whole essence. The meat absorbs the flavor of the milk. So the Gemara is saying, nah, that's Bas V'chalav is its own entity, its own animal. It's got nothing to do with it. It can't learn from Shari Yisurim because Bas V'chalav, the whole thing is a pellet. So therefore, certain properties of Hilchos Bas V'chalav cannot be transferred to other Yisurim. Okay? And that's what Rashi says, because just like the other things don't apply to Shari Surim, so maybe this Chumra, in this case, Tom Kiker, also won't apply, right? That's the Gemara. So Gemara says, 1 second. Umay Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? What's unique about Bas V'chalav? Well, Ilema, that's how I would have thought. That's what I mentioned last week. The Hailechudei Shari. Bas V'chalav is a strange thing. Independently, the meat's mutter, the milk is mutter. All of a sudden, you mix them together. Let's say I have rice and I have beans. So they're both mutter. Now I eat them together. Is it also? No, it's still mutter. Right? I mean, you know, pick any two foods you want. It's mutter separately, so it stands to reason logically that it should be mutter if you eat them together also. What's the problem? Okay? So that could be, that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush of bas v'chalav. It's a unique din. It's all of a sudden. There are two things that are mutter. The combination becomes also. It says, anymore, 1 second. It's not true. Kilayim Nami. I went to this week's center. Okay, it says shatnez. Shatnez. You can have a clothes made out of wool, and you can have clothes made out of linen. You just can't have what? Wool and together. So that's also, right? Kilayim Nami. Hailechudeh behailechudeh shari. Okay? Look at Rashi. Elam the Haina the Kiddusha, Haina Kiddusha, the Shnei Dwarm of Mutarim Hanukshin, Arbu Nesarim, Mashain Mashar Dwarim, Hakilayim Namiduk Mosu, Kalayim the same thing. Because wool is okay to make a garment out of, linen's okay to make a garment. All of a sudden you put them together. So if I have, let's say, I don't know, wool and cotton, all right, so I can make a wool shirt and make a cotton shirt. If I make a wool cotton shirt, it's also okay. Two mutter things I put together. All of a sudden, Semer Pish, and wool linen I can't put together. So that's also like Mosu Chalam. So it's not such a chiddush. It's not some wild, unique thing. We have another example. Right? Ha'ilachudu, ha'ilachudu, shari. V'hadad, they also... Where's it? No. Ella, what's the chiddush? Di'i toru lo kule alma b'chalava shari. If midaraisa, if I soak meat, okay, I take a steak and I soak it in a pot of milk all day. All day. Okay? Midaraisa, mutter. But suddenly I cook it, it's also. That's strange. If you're going to tell me, in other words, let's say kilayim is also having the same garment, whether I weave it, whether I sew it, whatever I do. Okay, here, now, it depends on how you do it. Meat and milk together is okay as long as what? They weren't cooked together, because derech Bishul Asur Torah, right? Rashi says Torah Shoreo Bechalav Kalayom Shari Klomar. You can even eat it. You can soak that piece of salami in milk if you so choose and let it sit there all day and you can eat it. You can eat it. And he says, okay, right, tells it, don't think now, go home, don't do this at home. Because Rashi tells it's still Asur Darabana. Fine. But the truth is, again, if the meat will taka, sit in your milk all day, will absorb some of the flavor of the milk. I mean, it's going to soak in a little bit. But midaraisa is completely mutter. Okay, drabana, you can't do it good. But midaraisa is mutter. And that's the chiddush. Okay? Whereas, but you cooked it, then over abishul, over al achiloso, as Rashi says. Now, with this in mind, really what I want to get to now, out of base, is a very interesting point, and I have to give you some background. And this will help you through Masrachal, help you in Tarubas also. Okay, we'll get to Tarubas with Hashem. Okay, what exactly is meant by Tarubas? The Chorah, okay, and I'm not doing this to justify, I mentioned some Rosh Hashiva here in our Yeshiva start with Hilchos Tarubas. I'm not criticizing it, right? I think Rosh Hashiva started with Tarubas, right? I think, what's this, Masrachal, is this something else? Rechman, I think, or something else. Also teaching with Tarubas. Years ago, I started. Rabbi Salavsky told me he did Basuchal first when he taught it, and Rabbi David Miller and Gross did the Tarovus first. So it makes a certain amount of sense to do a Tarovus first because Lechora Basuchal is just one example of a Tarovus, right? Okay, so my secrets. I like to do things in order. Plus, Rabbi Shechet told me to do it that way. So he said that the Rav did it that way, not the Shulchan Aruch. So do it in order. Why shouldn't you do it in order? Okay. Anyway, I think he did it also in order, like when he did a bunch of years ago. Anyway. So, but what I want to say now is that Basar Chalav is not really a Tarovis. Not really a Tarovis. Many of the dinim apply, but it's not really a mixture. Because what is the definition of a Tarovis? Okay? The definition of Tarovis is when you have a mixture of something usser and something mutter. Right? So that's the definition of Tarovis. You have heter and isser mixed together. Okay? You have heter and isser mixed together. And midoraisa, the rule is, what's the rule? Chad betre'a? Chad betre'a bato. Achare rabin lahatos, poison chumash, right? We follow a majority. Whenever you have any majority, not only in food, like in achare lahatos, tamar bezdin, right? We follow a majority and so on, right? And in other cases, we follow not only the food of the people, okay? I mean, we're trying to determine whether this baby was, Jewish or goy. We follow the rov, right? Many times, not only in the realm of Yisurin. Okay, so what happened? So Chad betray Batel, okay, you follow the Rov. So therefore, if I have three pieces of meat, I look at them, the one is from a non-kosher animal, it's a kosher animal, it's a shepherd, the veil, whatever, you look at them now, and you can't tell apart, they all look the same. Okay, so Chad betray Batel, with their eyes, right, that's a tarobas. However, by Macholas Asuras, we discussed this already, Macholas Asuras, we're interested not only in row, but we're also concerned about the potential transference of flavor. Now, when things are cooked together, three pieces of meat, starting with just lying there, okay, chavitrei bata. But once they've been cooked together, so now we're afraid that the flavor by food, we're concerned about flavor, right? That the tam was also transferred, okay? So therefore, a ratio of 2 to 1 is not enough because that's the din of tam kikar. Okay, maybe the flavor was absorbed by the kosher meat, and now the kosher meat also becomes, in other words, with flavor, when you have 2 to 1, even the 2 is usser. Right? If there's been a transference of flavor, the 2 doesn't beat out the 1 because the 2 became usser also. Right? There's no rove to win. You can't say, okay, Rabbi, I can't say 2 to 1. The 2 to 1, the 2 is also usser. You follow me? If there's a transference of flavor, the 2 is also usser. So I cooked a piece of chazer meat, and you couldn't tell, another piece of meat and so on. And now I realize there's a piece of trace meat inside there. So it's not enough to say, okay, chazer trace meat, I'll eat 2 of them. 2 out of 3 I'll eat. Okay, you can't do that because the cooking process has transferred flavor. Okay, so now even the 2 have absorbed the flavor, even the 2 kosher ones have absorbed some of the flavor of the usher piece, and therefore even the 2 is usher. So when it comes to bitul, how does bitul work? How does this, so, how does bitul work? The rove knocks out the miut. Right? The rove overpowers the miut. That's how Chaim Yitzchak Boto. The rove overpowers the miut. Okay? But here, the rove became usur. Right? The heter became usur because it absorbed flavor, so it can't over... So how does it overpower anything? Okay? The heter became usur. The heter itself became dover usur. You understand? That's the definition of tarovas. The definition of tarovas, the definition of bitul by a tarovas is that the rove overpowers the meat. Now, we'll learn in the Torah, does that mean it overpowers it, mamon? So let's say I have three pieces of meat here. Okay, I know the one is straight. Okay? But can I eat all three? Because each time I'll say, well, that was the rove. And I said, that was the rove. Can't do that. Can one person do that? Or maybe one person can't eat all three, but I can eat you, each of us three. That's a discussion which we'll get to in the Torah. But the basic is that the rove overpowers the meat. Right? And that wins. The rove wins. Okay, and that's the fundamental point of bitul berov. Okay, that the rove eliminates, overpowers, and knocks out, or whatever verbs you want to use, the meal. That's the definition of tarov, the definition of bitul. But by food, by machalas asuras, we have to be concerned about the flavor. So now, by the way, you may think it's strange for a second. Just think about, to eat. How can you even have a hamid? One person eat all three pieces of meat. He knows he's eating one piece of meat that wasn't kosher. Okay, that's true. But you know what? If some non-kosher meat fell into a pot and it was 60-1, you can eat the whole pot, even though you know, right? Or some milk fell into a flesh in your pot. You know there's milk in there, but you can do it anyway, right? So that's how bitul works. The rove overpowers the meat. But again, a machlokes asuras doesn't work. Everyone get it? You follow? Okay, good. Now, however, with my boss of the cholov, let's go back a step. But boss of the cholov, what's overpowering what exactly? Both the meat and the dairy are heter. Okay? The definition of a tarobis is isser and heter. So you have to figure out, does the heter overpower the isser, so now it becomes mutter. But by Bas Machal, it's not the case. They both started out as heter. You hear the point? They both started out as heter. So you see already how the tarobis of Bas Machal is very different than a tarobis by Shari Surim, of Chazer, that got, or whatever, treif meat that got mixed up with kosher meat. There you have Isser and Heter, and I got to figure out what overpowers what. So you go by the rule. But by Basra Cholov, what overpowers? It's mutter, both things are mutter to begin with. You see how that's different? So, it's not me saying this. Look in Tosas, source 12. Tosas and Nidub. Samach Aleph on the page. Tosas is there. It's talking there in the middle, towards the end of Nidub, the sugi comes up related to Kilayim. So it says, Beged she'ovad bo Kilayim lo yumachren lo v'kochovim. The Gemara says, if you have a garment and some shatnez got mixed in, you don't know where it is, so you shouldn't even sell it to a goy. Why not? The goy is allowed to wear shatnez. The answer is, we're afraid the goy may sell it to a Jew. Fine. The Tosfos says, im tomar beliftil beruba. No. Why don't we say one thread of wool got mixed into this, got sewn in by mistake to this garment? So we'll go by the robe. The robe is linen, or the robe is wool, whichever way it is, right? That's Tosfos kasha, not my kasha. You're told, liftil beruba. Whatever it is, every case by Sarah. We don't need to know. It's too complicated to go into the details of that. But the Gemara has the same kasha. So why don't they say here? Why not say bottle barov? So look at Tosis Teretz. V'yeshlomar to shayach bitul barov elakisha iser meurov beheter. Tosis Mefurish. There's no concept of bitul barov. Ella in Cain, the Isser is mixed with Heter. Aval Kilayim, Shashneim Heter, Vinasoran Ayde Tarovis, by Kilayim, the wool and the linen by themselves are each mutter, and the only thing that asks them is Tarovis. Kach Osir Hamaruba Kimo Hamuot. The majority is going to become Osir too. That's the definition. It's the combination that's Osir. The combination is what's Osir. See, by Machalos Osiris, it's not the combination that's Osir. The trade piece of meat is what's usher. The kosher piece of meat is kosher. They got mixed up. They're not now suddenly usher because the combination is usher. Whatever issue is because there's a trade piece in mixed in. So now you figure out what's the rope and you go by the rope. But by Kilayim, Tosas is saying, by Shatnez, Tosas is saying, that it's the woman independently of mutter. It's only the mixture creates the problem in the first place. And therefore, that's the isser. The issers are mixed together. Therefore, look at the words. God, usher, hamaruba, come on, mut. Okay, and the truth is, with the eyes, you'll ask me 1 second. So next kasha is, so taka, by basar b'chalav, there should be no concept of bittul. And we know what there is. By pasuk b'chala, bittul should not work. How do we talk about, what do you mean? It's shishim, it's this, it's that. What do you mean? The Tosfos is saying that since, he said, look at the language, lo shayach bittul barov elakisha iser ma'urav beheter. That Tosfos is telling a rule here. Okay, there's no concept of bittul, of bittul, except if there's iser mixed with heter. So the question in the back of our head, or maybe the front of our head, so 1 second. So bas v'chol is the same thing. Bas v'chol is not iser mixed with heter. How do we have that bittul? So now let's look carefully at some gemaras that we looked at. This is a sophistic point I'm saying here. Okay, the gemara chul and kuch chesam alaf. The Mishnah says we saw this Mishnah, right? Tipas chol of shenafal al chaticha im yesh ba menosim tamos al chaticha aser. Okay, the drop of milk falls on a piece of meat. If it's able to impart flavor to the meat, it's aser. Niras a kedera, if you stirred the kedera, then yesh ba menosim tamos al kedera aser, right? Then they go, you measure against the whole kedera. So the Mishnah right away says, what's in operation here? What principle are we operating with here? Bittul, right? There's bittul. All right, you have to measure against the whole kedera. Rashi says, okay, yeah, but I'll just add, you know, there's a question, this Mishnah's Torah, right? The whole piece becomes also. Okay, that's a question. If you didn't stir it right away, remember we mentioned last week? If you didn't stir it right away, that whole piece of meat now, so that's measured against the whole piece of meat, chaticha nas nevela. And there's a question, do we have that by shari surim or not? Okay? Especially if you say chaticha nas b'shari surim, certainly will say that the heter becomes usher now. Like I said before, you can't say 2-1 because the 2 now is impacted. And certainly say chatikanatavela, and certainly the everything became usher. Okay? Again, that's my usual taros. But usher cholov, you're not going to say chad between both because they're both mutter begin with, no bitum. It's a different thing, right? So, so let's see. So Rashi says, tibas chov shavam chaticha b'sochadeir, etc. Okay, and it's a question of the Tam Hatipa, and the Gemara, the Mishnah's rule is Yesh Benosin Tam. All right, look at the last Rashi. We saw this already. And Yesh Benosin Tam, Yesh Benosin Tam, also there, Koma ain't kach b'tipa less on kulam, Elam king Yesh Benosin Tam, litem b'chavak there. The issue is Nosin, the sin is Tam. Now, the Rambam says that too, right? Hilchos Machalosos, Parates, Halachaches, by Basar Cholov, he also says, Basar Shenafal Tocha Cholov, Ocholov Shenafal Tocha Basar, Special imam, the rice is shiro benosin tam. And everything is measured by flavor. Ketzan, chaticha shabosin of dero sacha shacholov. Okay, toim anachi, taste it. And same thing, shacholov. Back over in Sin Zari Beis Simchof, I'm sorry, Sin Zari Beis Simbeis 16, right? You have to check if there's tam cholov and everything we said. But what's clear from the Mishnah, from the Gemara, from the Rambam, from shacholov? There is bittul of a shacholov.
If it's not.
Huh? Right, at a certain point where it's not nosin tam, then we can disregard. But what do you mean? Tosfos told us a rule that any time it had to be heter, there is no bittul. Right? That's the issue here. You follow the problem? Yeah, but the Mishnah is pretty clear. The Gemara is clear. The Rambam, everybody paskins that if there's no flavor, so then it's not a problem. The goy takes it, if there's no goy, you shishim, whatever it is, but there is bittul. Right, that's the point. There is bittul, okay? I'm all right. So in 16, the dan day, some kind of a kolam, even shish mechatich with lav kulas are fine. But there, beyond a certain point, there is bittul. So look at the Prima Gadim, which we saw in little parts of this. The Prima Gadim, right at the beginning of his psicha, to Hilchos Bas Mechal. He says, da di yesh hevdel ben Bas Mechal v'shar esun b'tlas milen. Come on, Shvar. There's three big differences between Bas Mechal on the one hand, and Shari Surim on the other hand. Aleph, Bas Mechal, Shinstar Biachal, Adei Bishul Haroi, Nesu Shneim Bachila, Uvehanom Min HaTorah. One, we saw this already, right? One, we've seen this 10 times, but the Megillah spells it out. One is that Bas Mechal carries with an Issa Hano, Vil Shari Surim Nogim Benein, Ruban Mutab Hano. A few other exceptions, comments from Pesach, Orla, Kila, Karen. Okay, but basically, Bas Mechal is unique, it's Asubano. One. Two, Beis. Bebasa b'cholav chaticha nasis nevela. Now, Bebasa, everybody agrees that the piece, like we had in the case, you know, that trick of stirring the pot, you only do it right away before the milk had a chance to be absorbed into the one piece. Once the milk is absorbed in the piece, that whole piece becomes treif. Even though it might be 30 to 1, it's almost not 60 to 1. That, 59 to 1, that whole piece now becomes chaticha nasis nevela. Okay? And he says, also, the efshel softa also, efshel softa means, let's say I have a piece of meat that has milk in it, and I can squeeze it out. I can squeeze the milk out. Scientifically, you know, we have that radioactively tagged the milk. I'll squeeze it out. Nevertheless, chatira, whole piece becomes also. Even I can squeeze it out. That's minat also minat Torah. Yerushari surin, efshel softa, chatira, that's very low, haven of drabana. So now by Bas Chov, it's deraisa. By Ashari surin drabana. That's another big difference. The third difference, says the Prima Gadim, is Tam Kikar by Bas V'chol V'chula Avon Matarah. The concept of Tam Kikar by Bas V'chol is Midaraisa. And Bashar is only Darbonon. All right? And therefore, Hevdel Yesh Jilu Bas V'chol by a local called Kizas Bas V'chol Mishtayim. Shar is in a local. Okay? That's because Darbonon, and even the whole Tam Kikar Matarah, Shar is in, it's not Malkus. But what's the idea? Okay? What the Pirugadim is getting at, I think, and what we're all getting at here, is that by Bas V'Cholov, the combination is a new entity. The combination is a brand new entity. The issur is to create that new entity. Okay? And it's not meat with milk. It's a new entity called meat / milk. You know what I'm saying? It's not meat with milk. It's a new animal. Not an animal, but a new thing. Okay, it's meat / milk. And therefore, that's why Chaticha Nasa Nevela, because that's the very definition. That's the very definition, the whole piece. It's a new entity called meat milk. Okay, and that's why, okay, Efshel Softo, awesome enough, even I can squeeze out the milk, too late. The whole entity became usur. The combination, the fact that it was combined, that made it usur. It's a new entity called meat milk. Now I squeeze out the milk. It's still, that's what it's called. And also, that's why Tom Kiker is deraisa for sure. You get malchus for it. Because that's the entity. And if you look in Tosis and Avodah Zarah, the next source, Samachem and Beis, okay, Tosis has a similar sugi about Kilayim, and he asks something else, and now he adds our issue. Look what it says. Abeged shavru kilayim. In Tomar, same kasha we asked in Nida. In Tomar, live to Baruba. Let's say, live to Barov, right? By garment with kilayim. And it's the same thing by the horse, by the tour with Sar Nozir, and so on and so forth. But I want to say the same thing. Vitire, it's the second line of 18. This is Tosin, Avodazar, Daf Samachem, Bezimas, Abeged. The tirates, Rabbi Yosef Bar Yomtov, one of the Balatosos, the shiny kelayim. Look how he phrases it. The kol ikron ein oson el yaday iruv. Like I said it before, but it spells out more clearly here. The whole iser is what? Is the combination. Okay? Shari shneim heter. Because they're both by themselves mother. Lachach osar eruvan velo betali. See that? Now the Tosa of Avodah Zarah continues. Vim Tomar, Maharei Bosa B'Cholav, Dechol Echad L'Chun Shari, Ve'ruva Oser, Bafilu Hochi Batel, our Kasha. What do you mean? Bosa B'Cholav also, each one independently is Mutter. The only thing that's Oser is the Tarovis. And therefore, and yet Batel's Bittel still applies, because I'm in Parakol Bosa, or we just saw, Tipa Mishnah, Tipa Scholar, Shefa, Chaticha Bosa, Yeshua, Zatam, etc. So he says, without saying enough, in my opinion, well, for them it was enough. We'll have to think further. V'yesh lomar, the shiny bas v'cholov, the gully kra behegya de batil, k'damina hasam derek bishul asa Torah. The Torah itself says that there's going to be an exception. That bas v'cholov, even though the two things independently are mutter, and the rule is, once two things of a mutter are combined, that's not really called the tarovis, and it's certainly not going to be bitul, because bitul is defined as the heter overpowering the iser, and here there's no, they're both heter here, okay? And therefore, bitul shouldn't work at all, but the Torah itself implies that bitul does work by Pasuchal. Namely, Derech Bishul Asr Torah. How does that help us? What do I mean, Derech Bishul Asr Torah? So I think the pshat is like this. And again, because the Isser is formulated, as we've said 50 times already, is Lo Sevash, right? Okay. And what are we defining? You're not allowed to create that Chefza. The Bittul, again, there's no Bittul. In a Chana, there is no Bittul, because there's no conflict. Right? There's no, it's an Heter. Bittul means a fight. It's a conflict. With Heter and Isser, what wins out the road? By Bas V'Chol, there's no fight, because they're both Mutter. What it means is the Bishul. Okay, but Bitul by Bas V'Chol means, guess what? This is not Bas V'Chol to begin with. Not that it's Bas V'Chol and now we have to figure out that Bitul works. But Bitul by Bas V'Chol means, I'm using the term Bitul, but it doesn't have the same meaning as I'm driving at. It means this item never became Bas V'Chol to begin with. Because Derech Bishul Asr Torah. Okay, I'll elaborate. Okay, Bishul by Bas V'Cholov. Okay, Bitul by Bas V'Cholov means it's not Bas V'Cholov at all because there was no Bishul. Okay, and we need Derech Bishul Asr Torah. So therefore, what does it mean? If you have a ratio of more than 60-1, or it's clear that there's no Nesinas Tam, that's not called Bas V'Cholov. Okay, and therefore, it's not Derech Bishul, because what does Bishul mean in its simplest sense? Forget the Ksava Kabbalah means it, but not with the Ksava, it makes it edible. What does Bishul mean? Bishul means bringing flavor into something. Right? That's what the term means. Making it edible with this flavor. So if there's a shishim against the milk, it's not that it's Bittul in the technical sense of Bittul. Tosus is right. You can't talk about Bittul when the two items don't clash. They're both mutter items. What then? Why then does Bittul work? Bittul b'shishim? Because the definition of Bishul by Bas V'Cholov is to impart. That's the word Bishul means, to give flavor, to cook something, to make it edible like that with the Tzava Kabbalah. Okay, it's now edible in the state that you want it. If there's more, if there's a ratio of 60, more than 60-1, so that's not called Bishul, because it doesn't impart any flavor, and you need Derech Bishul Asr Torah. That's the point. That's what the Prima Gadim said it. Okay, or Tosa says it clearly. Hasam Derech Bishul Asr Torah. Tosa didn't spell it out, but I believe that's what Tosa means. Right? Derech Bishul Asr Torah means, by definition, the transference or the imparting of flavor. That's what it means. So if it's more than 60, it's not that it's batel in the sense of normal bittul. It means it never became Bas V'Chol in the first place. And that's why the emphasis always is on Nesinas Tam. That's a different type of thing with bittul without Nesinas Tam. You follow what I'm saying? Everyone get it? I think it's a fundamental issue.
Does the language of Shulchan Aruch around this issue really reflect that?
It can. I mean, again, Shulchan Aruch says, Derech Bishul Asr Torah. So I'm putting it together. Again, you're right, offhand.
We will still say the word bittul.
Yeah, we're using the word, absolutely. We're using the word bittul. I'm just trying to point out that based on Tosis, it shouldn't be. Right? Tosis and neither, right? He says, lo shayach bittul, elakasha isser mu'ruf beheter. So what do you mean? This is isser mu'ruf beheter. The answer is it's not. I'm just trying to point out to you, it's a different type of bittul, and that'll explain why. That's the prima gadim. That'll explain why chatichan as nevela, because that's the whole issue. Now impacting this piece of meat, it's a new entity, right? That's why Tom Kiker is the derisive to get malchus in Bas V'Cholov. Because that's the definition of it. This is like the punchline I was driving at. Well, to get to the understanding why Bas V'Cholov is really a different type of tarobas, and therefore it's not bittul in the normal sense. Okay, I have to say, I didn't really find him to say this exactly in this formulation, but I think this is what the Pasha Pshat means. And the Rav didn't spell it out. I mean, I only saw the notes, I didn't hear the Rav, you know, on this topic. But I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I heard the Rav on another topic, and I'm not, they're never there for your day. So I'm just saying, I think that's the idea. Look in the Rosh, okay? Look in the Rosh in the Maseches Nida. In the middle of Maseches Nida, the Rosh has a section, Hilchos Kilei Begadim, because that's where he talks about all the Kilayim issue, right? And Shatnez. So in Siman Hay, this is the part that I want to read. The lo shayach bittul b'rov ela issa shenis harav b'heter. So he says it too. It's not just Tosas. It's not something far off in the Tosfos. So the Rosh says it too, right? Lo shayach bittul merov ela isur shenizar beheter. Aval heter shenizar beheter. V'alidei terov zen esar. Lo shayach bittul merov. Dein kana lechaticha achas shel isur. There's one garment here. That garment has one linen in it. What bittul is? Lo shayach bittul. It's one chaticha. It doesn't mean a piece of meat, but it means a tomat kalayim. And he has the same kash as the Tosan Rosara. Tosan Rosara neither. The hard, the bean in the sea is Tom, the Bosom Cholob, come up with Sharisum, Afagav, the Hetta Behetta, the Shaykh Babitol, Rosh, same kash. What do we need the sin as Tom for? Should not be bottled no matter what? Kevin, Shai De Torah is Neser, Shiny Hossam, the Derek Bishol, as a Torah, look at the words. The Lo Mikri Bosom Cholob, below the sin as Tom. It's not called Bosom Cholob. That's not that it's called basal chalav and it's bittul. It prevents it from being called basal. That's the simple reading of Rosh, no? That's what he says. The lo mikri basal chalav below nesinas tam. Basal chalav has to be created via nesinas tam. Otherwise, not basal chalav. So if you only have a tiny drop of milk and a pot of soap, so it's not that it's bittul. Because the milk is mutter and the soup is mutter. So there's no bittul. But the answer is the Teretz never became Basim Chalav to start with. Because you need Nesinas Tam. That's the rush. Below Mikri, Basim Chalav, below Nesinas Tam. Those are his words. So it's not the bittul like the usual bittul. And if you look on the Madan Yontif, which is the Tosas Yontif, on the bottom of the page in the rush, okay, that same Simon, Simon Hain, it was Chalav, you got him in Nida, and Os Alev, he writes, Below Mikri, Basim Chalav, I'm Klomar, Shezeh, Shotzia, HaTorah, Iser, Basim Chalav, Loshon Bishul, Shma mina shein isuro ela kishiyesh bo benos en tam shezehu loshen bishul. The Tosfos is saying this very point, I think. Okay, he's saying this point. It's the derech bishul Torah. Since day one, we bothered. Why the Torah formulated in such a strange way? You know, so we gave different derech. Why did they lo sova? Why didn't just come right out and say lo sova? Right. Good, so Targum Oklis translated so good, but why didn't Torah say so? So he said, because it would have been subject to other rules. But here we're saying, and now we have the Ksava Kabbalah is clever, and grammatical interpretation, it means lo socha, even the definition of the word. Good, all that's good. But here we're coming to a critical, or a fundamentally so, I guess, in a verbose term. But, you know, we're coming to a basic concept here. Okay, and that is, that I believe is what the Rosh, the Madaniyata, he learns in the Rosh, Ein Yisur, Kish, Mohon, Islam. That's what Bishul means, to transfer flavor. And the Rosh Bo, in one of his Chuvas, so this is from the Shabbat today, 21, Rosh Bo in his Chuvas, Chelek Aleph, Simon Reish, Nun, Tes. Someone asked him, Shalta, Kilayim, Begadim, Tehlem, Elo, okay, because they should be one in 200, you know, by the way, Rove and Shishim are not the only two times you have Bittul. Other things are Bittul and Alhamdu by Truma, and Kilayim is Roim. Is 1 in 200, so someone proposed that there should be the same thing. All Kelayim should be related, okay? Because Shatna is lumped together with the other Kelayim. This week said also, Kedoshim says, so Shatna is, so should be 1 in 200, okay? And the Rosh Bo says, no, look at the Shuvah, third line, Kilei begotim, ein lem betelim, there's no bittul. Uklal godol, who says, Rosh Bo says it too. So now we have Tosas, the Rosh Bo, all the big Rishonim are saying, Shkol sha echad min haTorah v'smuter, Vasheni osur can avail a trade for Shari Surin. But this Arva Besoch had their bottle below because of Achre Rabim Lahatos. Aval, here it is. Kol Shazev is a heter. Ela Shetaruvasan Osarton. When both things are mutter, just a combination of Asir. Look at the language of the Rosh Bo. Mi Yavatel is me. Who's knocking out whom? They're both heter. Right? It's only a bit when there's a conflict. Who's knocking out whom? I boss mechalav. So he says boss mechalav. Lo haya beno saint tam. Okay, it wouldn't matter. Takin, it wouldn't be boss. By boss, it wouldn't be bittul either. Right, even in a million. By the way, I mean it's not so impossible to understand. I mean chametz on Pesach. You know, there's no bittul. Chametz on Pesach gufa. I feel a mashu. I think a thousand to one doesn't help, right? I mean, you know, sometimes it's is you know is all the way. So he could have said that boss mechalav. The Rosh Bo posits. Also, but the Torah, by making it bishul means a sinas tam. So this is all. Now this is based on what Rav Soloveitchik said, and what we said here that the iser of bishul at bas v'cholav is to create a chefza, a new chefza of bas v'cholav. But without tam, you didn't create that new chefza. That's the point. Not that it's bitul, it never became basr mechalav to begin with, because you need nesinas tam and the iser of lo sevashos to create that entity called basr slash chalav. If there's no nesinas tam, you didn't create that entity because of derek bishul. Of course, with rabbanon it's also okay. Rabbanon it's also okay. But if the, you know, you follow this, I think it's a very. I wish I saw it spelled out more clearly somewhere, but I'm convinced that that's what these rishonim are saying. Right? Pretty clear, right? I'm just adding that that's a definite visual and a systolic, pretty much, yeah.
But it's just, the thing I'm struggling with is the fact that I think,
right, so the word bito has a broader meaning. Because at the end of the day, something is nullified, flavor is nullified, right?
Yeah.
So it's a common, but all I'm pointing out is a different gather of bito, that's all. You know, it's a different definition. And that accounts, the Prima Gaudim suggested, for certain halakhic differences between Shari Surim, where bittul is the usual definition, and this. I mean, and Prima Gaudim doesn't say this, but I'm saying that's what's behind the Prima Gaudim's three chilukim, or first is, I know. Okay? But again, just to finish, the Rabbanon, it's the case that there is, you know, the Rabbanon, this Bishul, there is Bishul, right? Even without Bishul, you can have a, let's say we say soaking it and so on, and even without Bishul, without Nesinas Tam, the Rabbanon is still awesome. So you could raise the question, so maybe the Rabbanon should be no Bittul. If we do Rabbanon, you hold that there's Bishul, even with Derek Bishul, also Torah. But so according to the Torah, we cannot create the entity of Bons Pahal without Bishul. But according to Rabbanon, you can. Right? So maybe according to Rabbanon, there should be no Bittul. You could ask that question. The answer would seem to be, okay, so you know, okay, the Raisa Tika. The Rabbanon did make it stricter. Since the Raisa, you know, there's bitul beyond the sinas, there's no sinas tam. So Rabbanon said it like that also. So you can learn it that way. Anyway, we'll continue next time just to finish this up. Just, you know, on the Derek Bishul of Torah to finish this point. But I think it is a, you know, and then I'll move on to one other thing. As I said, these are all introductory. I know it's taking a long time. Don't trust me. We will go through everything so hard. We really will. Okay, but to me, it's very important to get down these yesodos, and then you'll see things as you go along that'll make sense. And we've already alluded to many of them. We talked about Nerchanak, which again is all in Siman Pesach. Siman Pesach is a long Siman. Okay, there are 11 Sifim in Siman Pesach, but a lot of interesting issues. But I mean, these are things that are behind, you know, some of the things which the Achronim and the Post can talk about. Okay, I wish you have a good day.